Hello and welcome to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I'm Bruce Allen, and today we're having a very special show with very special guest, Sherilyn Lebon. In fact, Sherilyn Harley Lebon is our only guest, and I will get to her in more detail later. If you want to find any of my columns, just go to BruceAllen.com, hit the Writing Plus tab, and there's all sorts of drop-down menu options below it that include the various columns I write, the blog series I write, and all sorts of other things, including the radio show and everything else. You can download this or any of the shows. This is going to be somewhere below 175, but above 200 or below 200, above 175. Not sure I'm doing that quite right. And you can also find my radio show on iTunes. And, of course, it's free. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. I hope you'll like the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. And if you want to get information about what's going on in the Bruce Allen world and all the various things I do in new and old media, just go to the homepage at BruceAllen.com and sign up for the newsletter. You will not receive any spam or be put on any other list. So we are going to cover a cornucopia of topics with Sherilyn Lebon in today's show, and I and you have got her for the entire hour. Sherilyn Harley Lebon is co-chairman of the Project 21 National Advisory Board. During the first 6 years, she was president and CEO of KLAR Strategies, LLC, a public affairs firm. She previously served as a political appointee in the George W. Bush administration, as a spokesperson at the Republican National Committee, and as a senior counsel for the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. She is well-credentialed, and I could go on and on, but I'd rather just talk to her. Welcome to the show, Harley. I mean, Sherilyn.
Great to be with you, as always.
I learned so much from you, Sherilyn, that it is an honor and a privilege to do a whole show with you, and I thank you for giving of your heart, your time, and your wisdom.
Oh, well, that's very generous of you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
One of the amazing things about our world today, I think, is how we can meet people that we wouldn't have otherwise met. I don't even remember. I believe it was somebody in your nonprofit reached out to me and said that you would be a great guest. And I get those kind of requests all the time, only this time something stood out and you were a guest. And not only were you were a great guest, I like begged you, please, will you be a regular? But it's amazing how we connected. We've yet to meet.
Yes.
Okay, you know you have a place to stay in L.A. anytime you come.
Yes.
I know we're going
to... forward to taking you up on
no,
that.
No, I'm very serious. Or Park City. I mean, when I'm in Park City, You're welcome to come there as well. I absolutely know that when we meet, it will be nonstop gab fest. And I will just be even more impressed and figuratively in love with you.
Thank you.
We have a number of topics, and we're not going to really do heavy-duty politics because I would like this show to have value beyond the times of what's going on. Political turmoil seems to be the state of our life. So I'm going to ask you to talk about things that are pretty much part of our daily lives or involve parenting, do involve politics, but not a specific issue. I'd like to start with what's been an ongoing problem or reality that I think is now more acknowledged in more circles than ever before, which is the bias, not only in our media towards one point of view, but the incredible political correctness and bias on our college campuses. It disturbs me as a parent sending a son to college and another one potentially down the road that I'm paying a lot of money often to have professors try to indoctrinate my kids. And then it concerns me for me that the media does less reporting, it seems, than opinion making or opinion expressing. So what would you like to add to this general topic? And let's talk about it.
Well, you know, this has been an often discussed topic among conservative or Republican circles, is that, you know, parents are spending a lot of money to send their children to college, and they get to these colleges and universities, and you have liberal professors basically trying to undo what the parents have taught them for 18 years at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm. Or in their church or synagogue.
In their church or formerly in the Boy Scouts, but, you know, we don't want to go there right now. But in all other, you know, the various things that, you know, we teach our children for 18 years before we send them off into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have the most, one of the most egregious examples, I think, of this woman, former weather woman, the weather, of the weathermen, I should say, who served a very long time in prison. I think it was something like 25 years, Bruce, and is now a professor at Columbia University.
Well, how about Bill Ayers that never served the time he should have served and is still not only in the news but spouting even our current president should be put up for war crimes? I mean, how left-wing can you get?
And I don't understand why Columbia University thinks that this person who served 25 years in prison for essentially being a domestic terrorist deserves to have the privilege of teaching at an Ivy League university.
Well, I'm sure she was actually the only person qualified to do so.
I'm sure she is the only person.
Yeah, there couldn't possibly have been any other candidates.
No, couldn't have been, particularly in the School of Social Work.
right.
So... If I had a child at Columbia University, I would be very upset. But getting back to the crux of your question and the issue at hand, you know, you've seen really the development of a number of organizations, Young Americans for Freedom. You have a lot of student Republican groups. You've got Leadership Institute, a number of groups now who really go on college campuses and really try to reach out to students so that another perspective is being given and so that these students have the tools and the phrases and the arguments and the knowledge at their fingertips so that they're able to counter the things that they're getting,
mm-hmm.
the left-wing rhetoric that they're getting from professors and other students. And I think it's really important to support these organizations that are really doing the yeoman's work on college campuses, where, again, you know, some of these kids are, you know, really outnumbered 10 to 1. But all they're interested in many cases, because I've talked to these kids, is they just want to hear another perspective. They just want to know, is there another, number one, is there another perspective? Number two, what is that perspective? And number three, can we have that dialogue? Like, why does it always have to be one way? And I think, to some degree, this is why you saw the development of schools like Christendom, Hillsdale, Benedictine. You know, these are Christian conservative schools because these kids have been raised in a certain way, and they want to go to a place, a college, a university, where they're going to feel welcome and where their perspectives are going to be acknowledged and appreciated.
Well, the other thing that is a corollary of this is the whole idea. When I went to college back in the dark ages, the idea was to have intellectual debate, to have a really... express and debate ideas. Now there's no debate allowed. There's literally speech codes in many campuses. And so it's not only a doctrine that is being promoted, but the whole idea of learning discourse, learning debate, really getting both sides of an issue is almost gone in most mainstream liberal arts colleges and in certainly certain departments. Certain departments are obviously more guilty of this than others. I have a good friend who's a professor at UNCW, and he's in the communication department, and we debate this often, and he... is pretty middle of the road politically, does not promote politics in his teaching at all or his writing. But he argues with me that it's a small minority that does this. And I think the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, maybe it's just because...
I do. I would agree with you.
Yeah, maybe it's because it's, you know, his world that he just doesn't want to confront it. And I know he's a totally fair-minded, incredibly honest and honorable individual. But so I don't even we don't talk about it anymore. I mean, we're not at odds politically necessarily, but we are at odds at, about both the mainstream media and colleges is what I believe is there. And I have a son who's, you know, in his sophomore year at Berklee College of Music. And the stories of some of the nonsense that he's been taught in his first year required classes. And we went to an orientation at SC the other day, USC, and I could not believe some of the classes they require. Listen, we have to take a break. Let's continue this after the break. And we will lead actually quite well into our next topic, which is raising kids harder today. So stay tuned.
Bruce Allen, you know what to do. Bruce Allen, father of two.